I used to work for pest control services in Louisiana. It was a tedious job with an awful chemical to smell 24/7. Once I got a booking from the outskirts. The client complained that she's facing a major cockroach infestation. The pay was good, so I drove to the place. There was a big wooden signboard with the name The Mannequin Farm written on it. That's an odd name for a farm. I rang the doorbell and waited. Minutes went by and no one opened the door. I knocked heavily this time and heard a feeble woman's voice from inside.
Coming, dear.
An old woman opened the door.
Are you from pest control?
Yes, ma'am.
Come in, dear.
I stepped into the house and the immediate smell of bleach and detergent hit me. Damn, no doubt she's having issues.
I tried to kill those vermin myself, but it doesn't work. Seems like they need a way more painful death to die.
You don't say. Suddenly, I heard a scratching sound behind a door on my right.
That's just my cat. A poor baby must be hungry. I'll feed him later.
She took me to her kitchen. I must say the house looked way cleaner than I expected. No dust and no garbage on the floor. It was a little weird to guess that such a tidy place can face pest issues, but then again, she was living on a farm, near the woods, so it was possible. I kept my backpack on the kitchen floor and started my job. The old lady stood behind me and watched me work. Every time I turned to her, she gave me a huge grin, flashing her yellow, broken teeth. I started making small talk to avoid the awkward silence. So, you live alone, huh?
Yes. I never married. And also, I don't think anyone can live with me.
Why do you say that?
I'm an artist. It's hard to understand an artist.
I kept working, thinking the woman will leave me be, but she didn't. She just stood there and watched creepily. Do you mind if I use your washroom?
Down the hall on your right.
I crossed the dark hall and entered the bathroom. The light wasn't working. The morning sunlight coming from the window made the bathroom visible. I did my business. I pressed open the garbage can and saw a vicious sight. There was a skinless animal head inside it. Maggots were eating it inside out. I left the bathroom right that moment and straight walked to the main door to leave. I knew I had my keys in my pocket and I was sure to drive away. But after reaching the main door, I tried to twist the doorknob, but it was locked from the inside. Probably with a key. The woman was nowhere to be found. That's when I heard the same sound I heard entering the house. The lady said it was her cat scratching the door from the other room. I walked close to it. It was locked too. I crouched down to look through the keyhole. At first, I saw nothing but darkness. And suddenly, I saw an eye looking at me. And immediately, I heard an inaudible cry of words followed by loud banging on the door.
Help me!
Who is it? Hello? Just then, I felt a strong blow at the back of my head, and I fainted. When I woke up, I could see drops of blood on my white shirt. My eyes took time to adjust to the lights. Suddenly, there were tons of lights. Once my vision cleared, I saw a skinny, tired man with a horrible physique sitting opposite of me. He was tied to a weird-looking chair. The chair was attached to a big platform kind of thing, and there was a foul smell all around the room, even though it was crystal clean. Suddenly, the door opened and the old lady entered, but my stomach dropped once I saw her in the light. The lady was holding a wig in her hand, and the makeup was all diluted like she tried to wash it off. It wasn't a she, but a he. It was an old man dressed like a woman.
Sorry for the dramatic entrance. You see, I have to work hard to collect my raw material.
What? What do you do? Kill and then eat people?
I'm not a barbarian. As I said, I'm an artist.
Saying this, he walked to me and revolved my chair at the back. What I saw chilled my bones. On the other side of the room stood an exhibition of mannequins, only they were made from skins.
Every mannequin has the skin of the animal it is representing. Most of them are wild animals, Those you can call my early works. And these three human are my latest creation. So, do you like my work?
Their human figures looked distraught. The man even used their real eyes and somehow didn't manage to fit them well, so the eyes were halfway hanging on the chin of the mannequin. He walked to the malnourished man and pressed a button on the chair. The chair started to shake violently, and a scary sound came from it. After 3 minutes, he stopped the chair, and the man was dead. His feeble, weak body couldn't take the pain.
I like skinning them without any wounds. It's a quite merciful method, you know.
He took off the dog leash from his neck and came to put me on it as his next raw material. But I used my brain. It was my only weapon then. I told him I would like to have the sandwich made by my wife before he starts starving me.
Fair enough. I'll bring your bag to you.
He brought me my bag and I started looking into it. I was unmarried. It was all a lie to buy time from my possible killer.
I had to check your bag for a knife or a gun. Hope you don't mind.
I don't need a knife or a gun, you son of a psycho! I grabbed the most poisonous chemical bottle I could find and splashed the liquid on his face. He screamed and fell to the floor, holding his face.
It's burning!
I got up and started running upstairs. I remembered seeing a balcony in the top bedroom. I reached it and jumped straight from the balcony. Once I got into the car, I started the engine. I heard a lock click and the farmhouse's main door opened. As I reversed the car, I could see the man standing on the porch. His half face was melted, yet he watched me with one eye and then waved at me. I never went back to that farm. This was meant to be the best decision of our lives. I and my darling wife Maria had just acquired a 2-hectare strip of land, sitting in a small village in the stateside of Nevada. We had always craved to experience life in the country, and seeing as she was due in 3 months, it seemed like the best time to make the move. The property came at a steal price, and to make things even more interesting, the realtor said it already had a cornfield on it. It was too good to be true. But if only I had known the truth, I would have torn up those deed papers there and then. When we arrived, the scenery was just as gorgeous and serene as we had dreamed. A small cottage was standing in front of us, and we could see the cornfield towering over it from behind. Maria walked towards the house with our pet dog Rex, while I carried out the rest of our stuff from the trunk. Suddenly, the dog began to bark incessantly like it had just seen the mailman. It bolted to the back of the house.
Rex, come back!
Maria called out, and she went after him. I was still very much preoccupied with the heavy bags when I suddenly heard a loud shriek. It was Maria's voice. My heart skipped a beat. Forthwith, I dropped everything and raced to the back of the house. Upon reaching there, Maria was panting heavily with her hand on her chest, while Rex seemed a lot more docile. What is it? I hastily asked.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I was just frightened by the scarecrow.
Maria responded. The what? I muttered to myself. Upon lifting my eyes, I was also left traumatized by the most disturbing and hideous-looking scarecrows I had ever seen in my life, and they were pegged all over the cornfield. Ultimately, it seemed like a problem for another day, so we just left it alone and made our way into the house. Later that evening, we heard 2 resounding knocks on our front door. We had only just moved in, so we definitely weren't expecting any visitors. I approached the door and swung it open. It was an offbeat and tattered-looking old man, and he had a dirty inverted cross around his neck. He just stared at me with a blank expression on his face. Can I help you with something? I asked.
You cannot help me, but I can help you.
He responded. He forcefully dragged my hand, took the cross off his neck, and placed it in my open palm. He was pretty strong for a man his age. I felt harassed. I immediately retracted my hand.
Hey, get your hands off me!
I barked in outrage.
There's no time to waste, son. The harvest is almost upon us. Hang the cross on your doorpost, or dire consequences shall follow.
The old man ominously warned. I was still trying to figure out what was happening. Before I could ask any questions, he turned and fled into the darkness. It was a very curious encounter, but not one I had the energy for. I shook my head and slammed the door close.
Honey, who was at the door?
Nobody, sweetheart. Just a prankster. I responded. I momentarily glanced at the cross, then callously tossed it into the fireplace. By midnight, I was awakened by a very strange sound. It sounded like a clanging bell. I went downstairs in my PJs and drowsy eyes to investigate. The sound was coming from a grandfather clock in the living room, but what was most curious was the fact that I had never noticed the clock up until that night. The clock was also concealing a hidden door that had been chained shut. As I approached the clock, my eyes were drawn to the window, where I met an even more bizarre sight. The scarecrows were all missing from their wooden posts. They were impossible to miss earlier, but at that moment, I couldn't even see one. Maybe it was just the extra glass of wine I had earlier. I turned around and stumbled back upstairs. My mind was probably just playing tricks on me. I observed the same phenomenon over a span of 3 days. By nighttime, the scarecrows were gone, but by morning, they would all return. I was bewildered. The villagers certainly put a lot of effort into their pranks. At least, that's what I believed. It wasn't until Rex went missing that I knew things had really gotten out of hand. I eventually found his decaying and maggot-infested body lying at the foot of one of those scarecrows within the cornfield. Blood was splattered all over the corn stalks, and a blood-drenched cleaver was lying beside him. Who could have done such a thing? I was still trying to figure out how to explain it to Maria when I suddenly bumped into the creepy old man again.
Did you hang the cross like I told you?
He abruptly asked. No, I burnt it. I responded, almost unapologetically. The old man hissed.
Such was the fate of your predecessors. Prepare your household. The harvest will begin after the 11th hour.
Hey, wait a minute. Do you know what happened to my... Before my eyes could transition from Rex's body and back, the old man had vanished without a trace. By midnight, just as he had said, I was awakened by the same clanging sound, but this time it was accompanied by a heavy ruckus coming from the cornfield. I peeped through the window to investigate, and a cold chill gripped my spine. It was unreal. It was petrifying. I became weak to my knees. The scarecrows were alive. Each of them wielded a crude farming tool, but it didn't look like they intended to plant seeds. In a panic, I grabbed my wife and hastily sprinted down the stairs. But before I could reach the front door, an axe was driven through it. They had encompassed the house and were forcefully trying to break in. Our last option was the eerie-looking door behind the grandfather clock. It was mysteriously now unlocked. We frantically charged into it. The door closed by itself. Within the room, we found dark scrolls, ancient relics, fetish ornaments, and sinister-looking books, all of which seemed to make mention of a curse and an ancient ritual called the Harvest. From what we could gather, if we had just placed the cross on our doorpost like the old man had cautioned, we would have been exempt from the reckoning. But since I was reluctant, our fate would pretty much be similar to our multitude of predecessors who were either rotting away or had already turned into piles of ashy bones within the cryptic room. God help us. Hi, I'm Paris, and last weekend was the strangest weekend of my life. I was blissfully sleeping in the car while my boyfriend Clark was driving. We were headed to this beautiful farmhouse next to a lake. It was our much-needed break after a month-long busy work schedule. I had closed my eyes and was enjoying the breeze when Clark suddenly applied the brakes of the car. I hit my head on the dashboard and woke up with a shock to see Clark closed his eyes in fear.
Clark! What the hell? What happened?
He opened his eyes and was even more terrified. I kept asking him what happened, but he didn't reply. He just got out of the car in a hurry and went out looking for something. I followed him out and was losing my patience with Clark's behavior. He looked around and said,
"Where did he go? He was right here."
"Who are you talking about? There's no one here."
"He came out of nowhere. I got scared and stopped, but now he's missing."
I thought Clark might have dozed off while riding and had a daydream. I told Clark to take a break from driving and I took the wheels. He was still worried and looking around, so I put on the radio and our favorite dance number was playing. I started to massage Clark's neck and told him to relax, and just when he was about to close his eyes, we arrived at the gate of the farmhouse, and what we saw at the gate gave us a shock. There was an old man holding a rifle and waiting for us. I got tense to looking at his rifle and asked him what the rifle is for. He looked at me with his rock-like face and told me,
"For the wolves. I'm Mr. Parker. Welcome to Farmhouse, where time stands still."
The farmhouse was exactly like we had imagined. I told Clark to forget about what happened and have fun. Clark and I went inside, and the place and its decor was straight out of a fairy tale. I was happy and rushed to hug Clark, but Mr. Parker walked in between with the luggage and scared the hell out of me. Later in the evening, when we were asleep, I heard a loud gunshot and woke up. I came out to the balcony thinking Mr. Parker might have killed a wolf, but what I saw stunned me. There was a girl in a white flowing frock, like a bride, standing on the terrace with a rifle in her hand. I was both surprised and shocked to see her, because I thought there was no other guests in the farmhouse. I yelled out to her,
"Hi!"
She didn't reply. She just went away without even looking at me. I thought it was strange and wanted to find out more about her, so I came out of the room and was headed towards the stairs when someone tapped my shoulder. It was Mr. Parker.
"Tea is served at the table by the lake. Please come, madam."
"I saw a girl on the terrace. Is this the way up?"
"That is a private area, madam. Guests are not allowed there. Please leave."
I found this whole thing very strange, but I had no choice but to leave. I decided to get back in the night and check. While having tea, I told Clark about the girl. He was about to say something when we saw another girl coming out of the lake and walking towards the house without even drying herself off. We called out to her, but she did not respond, just like the other girl on the terrace. I got very curious now and asked Mr. Parker about the girls.
"Guest information is confidential. Get ready for hunting."
I did not understand what he meant by hunting and asked Mr. Parker. He said it was part of the farm stay experience. We both got excited, and a little while later we entered the woods nearby. Mr. Parker was our navigator. He pointed in a direction, and Clark took a shot but missed. It was my turn next. Mr. Parker listened carefully and then pointed in a direction. I aimed and took a shot. I heard the shrieking of an animal and rushed to look, but then Mr. Parker took out a Bluetooth speaker from the ground and told us that it was just a simulated game, and we had a good laugh about it. Later that night, Mr. Parker served us some delicious food. I casually asked him that I wanted the recipe, and he looked at me with a cold face and said,
"It's human meat curry."
We were shocked to hear this, but then Mr. Parker burst out into a monstrous laugh and told me that he'll give me the recipe when I leave from here. After dinner, I had decided to find out more about the girls, but the food Mr. Parker served us made us drowsy and put us to sleep in no time. And then suddenly, I heard a gunshot and woke up. I came out of the balcony to the girl standing on the terrace, like what happened the previous day. I came out of the room and was going towards the terrace when, just like the previous day, Mr. Parker tapped on my shoulder, stopped me from going upstairs, and told me that the tea is served by the lake. I was at the lake having tea when I saw the same girl coming out of the lake and walking away. The same thing was happening again. I tried to explain it to Clark, but then Mr. Parker came and called us for the hunting. At the hunting, Clark missed the first time, and when I took a shot, the animal shrieked in pain, but the Mr. Parker came and showed the Bluetooth speaker. I told Clark that I've lived this day before. Clark strangely did not believe me. At dinner, we ate the same food again. Mr. Parker made the same joke again. I was getting worried. But when I told Clark, he just asked me to rest, and we slept. I was woken up again by the gunshot, came out to see the same girl, and was again stopped at the stairs by Mr. Parker. The same girl came out of the pool. Then we went hunting. I shot, and Mr. Parker got the speaker, and then dinner. And we slept again, but this time I woke up early and went to the terrace and saw the girl coming out of a room. I walked towards her to find out what was happening, but she tried to shoot me. I ran from there and came to my room, woke up Clark and told him what had happened, and he was shocked. We had to save ourselves, so we sneaked out of the house, started my car, but Mr. Parker was at the gate aiming his rifle at us. I stopped for a moment and then hit the accelerator and drove past him as he tried to shoot at us. We drove away from there, but as we were about to hit the highway, we saw the same man who had stopped Clark before. He told us that he was also one of the guests there and was trying to get out. We didn't believe him at first, but he showed us his ID and begged us to help him. We asked him what was going on in that place, and he told us that the farmhouse was cursed, and whoever came there was stuck in a time loop and couldn't escape. We were lucky enough to get out of there alive, and we never returned to that place ever again.